Welcome to the Kingdom Truth Podcast. On our podcast, we teach the good news of Jesus Christ and biblical principles that empower all people with real-life, timeless applications. I am your host, Bible teacher, Yolanda Tyler. Well, praise the name of the Lord, everybody. We are excited about God's Word on this day. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word, for faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We pray for every listener that they will hear your word and receive your word in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to continue our sermon series titled, When Godly Leaders Pray. I will be reading in your hearing from the New American Standard Version of the Bible, 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 10 through 13. So David blessed the Lord in the sight of all the assembly. And David said, "Blessed are you, O Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Indeed, everything that is in the heavens and the earth, yours is the dominion, O Lord, and you exalt yourself as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. And in your hand is power and might, and it lies in your hand to make great and to strengthen everyone. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and we praise your glorious name." Our first biblical principle in this lesson is when godly leaders pray, praise and worship comes before petition. Our second principle, God is the central focus. Our third biblical principle, when godly leaders pray, we focus on the attributes of God. Now let's continue. 1 Chronicles 29:11b reads as follows. "Indeed, everything that is in the heavens and the earth, yours is the dominion, O Lord, and you exalt yourself as head over all." And I love the King James Version. It reads, "For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all." Our fourth biblical principle is, when godly leaders pray, we acknowledge God's sovereignty. The word "indeed" in this text means certainly, surely, or because that. The word "everything" means the whole, any, or totality. The word "heavens" comes from the Hebrew word "shamayan," and it means the visible heavens, the sky, the atmosphere, or the abode of God. The word "earth" comes from the Hebrew word "eretz," and it means the whole earth and its inhabitants, the ground, the surface, or the territory. In the King James original text, there is a colon after majesty. It is used to give emphasis or to introduce a text and also for clarification. David prays and makes it plain and clear that everything belongs to God. When we look up to the heavens, it all belongs to God. When we look down at the earth and everything around us, it all belongs to the Lord. He is the creator and Lord of both heaven and earth. Scripture says in Genesis 1:1, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." David takes no credit, but in humility acknowledges all things are under the Lord's sovereign control. God created us. He knows us intimately and deeply and better than we know ourselves. The Bible confirms this truth in Psalm 100, verse 3. It reads, "Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. God created everything, and all things are subject to him. John 1:3 says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. God made it all, owns it all, and controls it all. God is the source of it all, and he sustains it all. The word of God declares in Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And like David in our lesson text, when we are blessed to give generously to the mission and work of the Lord to advance the kingdom of God, we must humble ourselves and pray and acknowledge God's eternal and sovereign control and supremacy in our lives. The Lord has absolute control over our finances, over our homes, our families, our children, over everything. He has absolute control over our talents, gifts, our abilities, and over our souls and spirits. The Lord God spoke in Ezekiel 18:4 and said, all souls are mine. He owns our very lives. The Bible says we are not our own, for we were bought with a price, according to 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 to 20. We own nothing. God owns everything. Our homes, cars, boats, businesses, rental properties, 401ks, stocks, bonds, investments, pets, vacation homes, and you name it, God owns it all. We are trustees and managers of God's resources. It is all God's stuff. He gives it to us to enjoy, but he may take it whenever he pleases and without our consent. The Bible declares in Psalm 24, verses 1 and 2, the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. Or he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. God made the world and owns the world and everybody and everything in it. And when we understand this biblical truth and acknowledge the Lord's sovereignty and supremacy in all things, it will revolutionize our prayer life. David's prayer is so powerful as he stands in awe of his sovereign Lord. He sets a powerful example for us to follow. As we seek the Lord in prayer, he reminds us in this biblical text of who God is. He is master of everything. Now let's go back to our foundational text, 1 Chronicles 29, verse 11b. In the King James Version, it reads, thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Our next biblical principle is, when godly leaders pray, we acknowledge God's kingdom. The word kingdom in this text comes out of the Hebrew word mamlaka, and it means dominion, reign, or sovereignty. King David is looking for the coming of the kingdom. This was a promise made to him and his descendants in 2 Samuel 7:16. It says, your house and your kingdom shall endure before me forever. Your throne shall be established forever. David prays with a kingdom mindset and with the kingdom perspective. Although David serves as a leader and a king over the Jewish nation, nevertheless, he knows Yahweh is the true king, and he acknowledges that the kingdom belongs to him. And the kingdom of God is simply God's rule and God's reign. It is God's righteous way of doing and being, not David's way or man's way. It is through God's way, through his divine plan and protocol, and through Jesus Christ, his son, that he will establish his kingdom on earth. Jesus Christ has ruling authority and power over all, and he rules and reigns over all. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It is his kingdom that goes beyond Israel, and it goes beyond the local and universal church. The kingdom of God is broad and expansive. It is internal and eternal, and it extends to all the ends of the earth. The Bible says in Psalm 145:13, your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. David's prayer is so powerful and significant that the Lord Jesus uses the same wording in the doxology of the Lord's Prayer. In Matthew 6:13, it says, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And when godly leaders pray, we must acknowledge God's kingdom. David knew in his life and in the life of every believer, the kingdom of God affects everything about us. And not only in time, but also in eternity. The kingdom of God is built on the truth of God's word. And it's only the truth of God's word that will last and stand the test of time. Our thoughts, actions, our decisions, our speech, our relationships, our destinies are all determined by how we see and allow the kingdom of God and the word of God to operate in our hearts and in our minds. And when we pray, thy kingdom come, we acknowledge God's kingdom. We acknowledge Jesus Christ as king over his kingdom. We acknowledge his kingdom authority and his rule and reign. And we allow him unlimited, unrestricted access to rule in our lives. He is supreme ruler, supreme judge, and master. He has ultimate control. Jesus Christ is the king with all ruling authority. It is his kingdom that influences every decision that we make. It shapes us and molds us on a daily basis. It's an ongoing kingdom way of living. It's a life that's totally yielded to the lordship of Jesus Christ. And it is the most meaningful, purposeful life that we can live. That is what kingdom living is all about. But how many of you know, for some believers, that presents a dilemma, because we want to live our lives and act independently of the Lord's kingdom authority and rule. We want to take matters into our own hands and make our own decisions and do our own thing. We want to do whatever we please with whomever we please, whenever we please. We try to control our lives and run other people's lives. And some of us, our homes, marriages, our families are in total disorder, disarray, in chaos, and in confusion. And the Bible says God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. And when we allow God's kingdom to rule and reign in our hearts, there is peace. Romans 14:17 says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Jesus Christ and his kingdom brings divine order and peace. David knew and realized that it was only God's kingdom and only God's way. And one thing we all know about the kingdom of God is that it is real, personal, and spiritual. And all throughout the New Testament, Jesus came preaching the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. They are both the same. In Matthew 4:17, the Bible says, "From the time Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" And when the Pharisees questioned Jesus as to when the kingdom of God would come, the Bible says he answered in Luke 17:20, "The kingdom of God is not coming with signs that can't be observed, nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There it is.' For behold, the kingdom of God is in your midst." And the original King James Version says, "Neither shall they say, 'Lo here,' or 'Lo there,' for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." And unlike David and the children of Israel, they were waiting and looking for the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is continually present in the here and now. It is where Jesus sovereignly rules and reigns. We are born again, blood-bought believers, and wherever we go, we bring the kingdom of God with us. In every nation where there is a born-again believer, the kingdom of God is present to make a difference and to be a witness, to be salt, to be light, and to share the love of Christ to a lost and dying world. Scripture says the Apostle Paul preached a lot about the kingdom of God. In Acts 20, verse 25, when the Apostle Paul was ministering to the elders, the Bible says, "And now behold, I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more." And then again, while Paul is in a Roman prison with freedom to preach the Bible, it says, "Then Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented house and received all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with all openness unhindered." And as David prays, "Thy kingdom come, O Lord," and when we pray, we must acknowledge the kingdom of God. Now let's continue. In 1 Chronicles 29:11, the Bible says, "Yours is the dominion, O Lord, and you exalt yourself as head over all." The King James Version states, "Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head over all." Our next biblical principle is, when godly leaders pray, God is exalted. The word exalt in this text means to be lifted up, to carry, or supreme exaltation. The word head in this text means chief, top, or summit. God is exalted and highly lifted up. The essence of who we are, every fiber of our being, and the reason for our living is to exalt the Most High God. David prays and speaks of the exaltation of the Lord. In Psalm 18:46, the Bible says, "The Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. Let the God of my salvation be exalted." The children of Israel experienced and knew something about exalting the Lord God. After they crossed the Red Sea on dry land, the Bible says they sang a song of exultation. Exodus 15:2 says, "The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him." The prophet Isaiah testifies about the exultation of the Lord. In Isaiah 6:1, it says, "In the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, with the train of his robe filling the temple." The Bible also says in Nehemiah 9:5, when he prays, he exalts the Lord. The word says, "Stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever. Blessed be your glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. And in our modern day churches, we sing a classic song about the exaltation of the Lord. And the lyrics come from Psalm 97:9 and Psalm 15:16. The praise choir lyrics are, I exalt thee, I exalt thee, O Lord, for thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. And then as we continue, David gets even more specific in his prayer. In 1 Chronicles 29:11, it says, you exalt yourself as head over all. God is exalted as commander-in-chief, as master, ruler. God is exalted above all creation, above all created things. God is exalted as head above the universe, above all powers, rulers, authorities, dominions. God is exalted as chief above all angels, above all thrones, above all princes. God is exalted as head over all, above all presidents, prime ministers, kings, and kingdoms. Our God is exalted. He has the final authority and he has the final say. God is exalted to the highest rank, the highest position, over everything and everybody. One commentary stated, God is the Most High, Lord of heaven and earth, subject to none, influenced by none, absolutely independent. God does as he pleases, only as he pleases, always as he pleases. God chose himself to be head over all. It is not by accident or incident or coincidence. Unlike corporations or institutions who hire or appoint high-ranking individuals to serve in a position of CEO, no one appointed God. No board of directors had to hold a meeting to vote for God. He sits on the throne and serves in his high, lofty position as CEO and ruler of the universe. There was no primary election, no special or general election. No one chose God, and no one can impeach God. God chose God. Hallelujah. No one can fire God or replace God. God's position is kept by his own holiness, authority, and power. He is chief executive officer of the heaven and earth, of all humankind, and of every living creature. Man has nothing to do with it. God is supreme and superior above all. He is the boss. And he is in charge. And from reading our Bibles, we also know that God is the head of Christ. 1 Corinthians 11:3 says, but I want you to understand that Christ is the head of every man, and the man is the head of a woman, and God is the head of Christ. God is exalted as head above all, from eternity past to time to eternity future. His sovereign headship and rulership will always exist. And David knew this when he prayed, because when godly leaders pray, God is exalted. And as we continue with this powerful prayer of King David, in 1 Chronicles 29:12, it says, both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In this prayer, David makes it plain and clear, all of everything belongs to God. He realized it was God who blessed them with the gifts to give the generous offering in the first place. David trusted the Lord to provide. And our next biblical principle is, when godly leaders pray, we trust God as our sole provider. The word riches in this text comes from the Hebrew word hosher, and it means wealth. This translation is seen 36 times in the original King James Version of the Bible. The word honor comes from the Hebrew word kabod, and it means glory, abundance, or splendor. David could pray this prayer because he had a life full of riches and honor. He was a very prosperous man of God and had great wealth and influence as king over Israel. In this prayer and in the life of David, we see that he had the right perspective and mindset concerning material wealth and prosperity. His heart was in the right place. He did not trust his riches. David knew better. The Bible warns us in Proverbs 11:28, "He who trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like the green leaf." And not only King David, but many of the leaders and the Israelites had great wealth. They gave generously and lavishly for the building of the temple. And there is nothing wrong with having wealth and money, as long as money doesn't have us or control us. That's when it's wrong. When we love and worship money more than we love and worship the Lord, that is the sin of idolatry, and the Lord hates sin. 1 Timothy 6:10 tells us, "For the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil." It is all God's money. It's all God's stuff, and He entrusts us with it as stewards and managers. Everything we have is on loan from the Lord. David knew it all belonged to the Lord, and it all came from him. He knew the Lord made it all, owned it all, ruled over it all, and was the source of it all. And when we understand this biblical truth that God is our only source and sole provider, it will radically change our view on how we see money and possessions, and it will directly impact our stewardship and our prayer lives. And as we mentioned before, we own nothing, not one thing. And my prayer is that as believers, we get delivered and stop clenching and holding on to stuff with a tight grip and give up our ownership rights to the Lord. One commentary stated a quote from Dennis DeHaan so beautifully, "In our hearts, we must make a transfer of our goods to God and then keep reminding ourselves who really owns them. This will help us use things wisely, hold them lightly, and enjoy them fully." Now let's look at some practical applications for our lesson. Number one, always begin your day with prayer. Number two, read and meditate on the scriptures pertaining to our lesson. 1 Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 to 17, Psalm 145, 13, Romans chapter 14, verse 17, and Luke chapter 17, verses 20 to 21. Number three, learn to surrender everything in your life to God's control. And you might ask Bible teacher Tyler, who is this Jesus? Well, the Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and you will believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for salvation that's taking place all around the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Kingdom Truth Podcast with Bible teacher Yolanda Tyler. Please subscribe to our podcast so you will know when the next episode is published. To hear more biblical teachings and give to support the ministry, please visit our website at www.thekingdomtruth.org. That is www.thekingdomtruth.org. God bless you. Until we meet again.